The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Students of the Game. My name is Alex Bauman, and as always, I'm joined by Ray Oldenburg and Nathan Gladwell. Now let's jump into AAA. The first story we have today is Notre Dame men's basketball head coach Mike Bray announced he plans to step down at the end of the season, ending a 23-year run at the university. What are y'all's thoughts on coaches announcing retirements mid-season? And do you think they should wait till the offseason?
Yeah, I definitely think so. It seems kind of an odd timing, just like you said, Alex, for this announcement. But Mike Bray is one of the all-time greats. At the college level, from what he did at Notre Dame with a 23-year run. He's got the seventh most wins among Division I coaches at a certain school. So, I mean, that's something that you can't down the guy for. He's been a great coach and he's had a great run, but it was odd to announce this, you know, halfway through, a little bit into conference play. It was a little weird.
Yeah, basically it just adds another distraction to the team. It's one more thing that adds to the team's plate. They need to focus on winning, not, you know, the coach, you know, leaving at the end of the season. So I feel like it's kind of selfish of him to kind of take that spotlight away from them. But in a way, I do understand, like, you're giving a notice to the team that you won't be there next season. So it's kind of a difficult situation. But in my case, I think I would wait.
Yeah, just looking at it a couple of years ago, or I guess last year, you know, Coach K retired beginning of the year and kind of made the year all about him. Didn't really think that was good for the team at that point. Everything was like, oh my God, Coach K's going. This is his last home game. This is his last NCAA tournament game possibly. And I just felt like that was just, I don't like that. I think it needs to be about the players. And then, you know, on the flip side of that, you saw Roy Williams. He announced at the end of the year. And, you know, that was kind of, everybody was surprised about it. But like you said, Nathan, I think it's good to give him notice. But I'm on the same side as both of y'all and just kind of waiting until the end of the year. All right, the second story we have today is in celebration of National Hot Sauce Day on January 22nd, Mountain Dew released a limited edition Baja Blast hot sauce. Would y'all have tried this?
No. Okay, no, absolutely not. It says it takes the soda's fruity tropical flavor and adds the blast of heat from habanero and jalapeno peppers and green chilies. I mean, the fact that this is limited and this is, you know, they did it for National Hot Sauce Day, that's cool, but absolutely not.
This is disgusting. I really question what goes through some of these people's minds when they're creating some of these new food products or sauce products. Like, what are y'all doing? It's the same deal with, like, the Cheetos mac and cheese or whatever you want to, like, buy at the store that is a combination brand of, and it's not their usual food that they sell. It doesn't work out 90% of the time. You have the 10% where it might be good, but I usually don't even try it because I know it's going to be bad, and I think this will be just as bad.
Yeah, Baja Blast is a drink, not a condiment, and I don't know how they think it's going to work out. All right, Gray, what's going on in college basketball last week?
Yeah, hectic week in college basketball. As usual, this season just gets weirder and weirder. But let's start off with one of the best teams in the country. The Alabama Crimson Tide continue their role, undefeated in SEC play, and they get two wins this week against Vanderbilt and against Missouri. First against Vanderbilt, you know, not the 40-point win that we saw against LSU early or a few weeks ago from the Tide in this game. You know, they did go on the road. And I think Brandon Miller continues to solidify himself as the best team in the country. Alabama wins 78-66. Brandon Miller had 30 points and 10 rebounds. Nathan, what did you see from Alabama in this game and in this Missouri game for this week?
Yeah, so in both these games, we struggled offensively, whether it be Mark Sears, whether it be Brandon Miller or Noah Clowney. And just our depth and the ability to – for people to come off the bench and make up for that loss production really, you know, puts us ahead. Especially like what we'll see in this Missouri game, our shooting percentages were not great. We didn't shoot the ball as efficiently as we are used to, and yet we still end up winning by 20. And you really ask yourself, how is it able to happen? It just all goes back to this bench.
Are you sure it's because Kobe Brown didn't play?
You know, I really don't think it would have mattered if he played. How many points would he make up in that amount of time? How many points is he worth in that game?
30 against y'all last year. So,
well, it's a little different when you are going against a team whose average height's around like 6'8".
No, that's very true.
Yeah, so looking at the Vanderbilt game, you know, really didn't have a great game from Noah Clowney and Mark Sears, but Jaden Bradley and Noah Gurley kind of picked it up. That kind of really shows how good the Alabama bench is and just their depth overall, which makes them kind of the best team in the country, in my opinion. A lot of these top teams just lack that kind of depth, so it really helps to have it. And then looking at the Missouri game, Noah Clowney, masterclass from him, 17 points and 14 rebounds. I honestly think he's the best center I've ever seen in Alabama. You know, there's been Alex Reese, Donta Hall, and Jimmy Taylor, but I really think he's miles ahead of those guys. So Alabama team moving up to number two in the AP poll this week. I really think they can move to number one next week if they continue to win.
Yeah, yeah, just, yeah. Hold on, I want to say this.
No, go ahead.
The fact that Noah Clowney even has to be in the same class as the centers you mentioned now, it's is kind of disgusting because Noah Clowney, his size, his ability to actually shoot. When's the last time we had a shooting center? I mean, Alex Reese, you could make a case for him, but he was so inefficient. And he didn't like play like a normal center. He played like a power forward. And, you know, I guess you can say Noah Clowney plays like an actual power forward, but he plays more like a center than Alex Reese does. So
that shows you how good Nate Oates has been at recruiting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So taking a second back to what Alex was saying, Alabama jumps up to the number two spot from the number four spot in this year in this week's AP poll. And the AP poll is continuously laughable, in my opinion. And that's coming from not just last year, from the problems that Auburn had getting up to number one when they should have been number one well earlier, but the problems that North Carolina and just in general, the fact that the media votes on how these teams rank themselves is just ridiculous. And who's voting for them is also ridiculous. But Alabama has continued to prove in week in, week out, from especially since conference play, that they are the best team in the country, yet they have not obtained that number one spot. While many other teams have, one of the teams they had beaten in the Houston Cougars from last week, who then lost to Temple this week, but Purdue was able to jump into that number one spot. Look, I'm getting frustrated about it, and I'm an Auburn fan. It's getting ridiculous at this point. We need to stop letting the AP poll measure about where these teams are ranked in the season.
Yeah, all I'm going to say is Alabama's not winning by three against teams like Maryland. That's pretty bad. And they're not escaping at home. They're not having these close victories. And I know Purdue has won some good games. They have a lot of quad one wins. They have a great resume. They have a great player in Zach Edey and Brandon Smith. But overall, the whole body of work and the absolute dominance that Alabama's had, I don't know, I had bias here, but looking out from an outsider perspective, Alabama has consistently played better.
Yeah, you know, there's SEC football bias when it comes to rankings. Is there a Big Ten basketball bias when it comes to these rankings?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you've 100%. Seen Purdue stay in number one slot. I don't know. I mean, it just feels like the Big Ten usually gets the benefit of the doubt, like the SEC does in college football.
Yeah, yeah, how good is the Big Ten actually?
No.
Outside of, I mean, what, Purdue? Who else is good? I
guess, and you have you have Ohio State,
Indiana.
Indiana. They are not having a great year. Yeah. You can make a case for Michigan State. They're decent.
Penn State's you always make a case for the Tom Izzo coach team. Yeah.
The rest of that conference, are Rutgers they playing basketball
good
this year?
They're playing good. Rutgers has been good.
Well, yeah, outside of all those
conference
teams
is not as deep as the SEC and is not as top heavy as the SEC. And yet they're still going to get the bias, just like you said, Nathan. But moving on to talking a little about the Auburn Tigers, Auburn continues on this little win streak that they put together to move to 5-1 in the SEC. Now, I mean, tied for second in the SEC with Texas A&M and Tennessee, just behind Alabama. Ever since this Georgia loss, this Auburn team has looked completely different. They go on the road to get too large in terms of differentiating in the outcome in these two road wins against LSU and South Carolina. LSU and South Carolina have been struggling for a good while now. especially in SEC play. Outside of their two big wins, their only two wins for each of these teams, South Carolina beat Kentucky at Rupp, and LSU beat Arkansas in that first game. I don't even know how those two did that. But with Chris Moore still being out from injury, you know, we hope to see him soon. He warmed up against South Carolina. Alan Flanagan being thrusted into that starting spot. And it's just worked. It's just worked really, really well. He's been playing great. Wendell Green's been playing so much better. We've seen what Jani Broome could do, especially against smaller bigs like he did against South Carolina. And South Carolina had 27 points, 11 rebounds. But it's all about consistency with this Auburn team, just like we've been saying in the entire year. If they can just be consistent and play their best basketball at the right time, I think this Auburn team, I don't think they have a chance to win the SEC. I do think they have a chance to be a top four seed and get a double bye in the SEC tournament and make some noise in March. But talking about this LSU game, really not a good shooting performance from Auburn. Only went 8 of 24 from 3. Was definitely better than LSU. But, Wendell Green and Jalen Williams were the two that you need to look at in this game. Each of them with 14 points. And the bench. The bench was much, much better. Leor Berman coming off the bench, taking that role that Alan Flanagan had on the bench. He scored 8 points. Katie Johnson, it was good to see him knock down 2 threes. He had 8 points. So a good performance overall from Auburn in that game. What did y'all see from the Tigers versus LSU?
Tigers versus LSU. I'm surprised you didn't say Tigers versus Tigers there, Gray. but as you said, they are continuing to be consistent. And that's one thing that, you know, as an Auburn fan, you'd like to see. Wendell Green keeps playing good. I think he's probably the best player on this team. If not him, Jalen Williams has a solid case. As far as playing like LSU and South Carolina, I know those aren't like two very good teams. But, you know, it's important to kind of play these teams really well and kind of get that chemistry going now rather than wait till February and find out against these better teams. As far as like LSU goes, what is going on with them? What has happened?
It's like Ole Miss.
It's Murray State trying to compete in the SEC right now. It's just not happening. They don't have John Morant.
Yeah, looking at Auburn this week, we've been saying all year, identity, identity, identity for the Auburn Tigers. And it looks like they found it in this recent stretch of games. It was just a focus on Wendell Green and Jalen Williams and Jani Broome being the go-to guys for them. And then you look at the South Carolina game. G.G. Jackson for South Carolina. If he wasn't on South Carolina, I think he would be in that Brandon Miller conversation being the top 100%. Freshman in the country. 100%. You know, maybe he went to UNC instead of chickening out. But I really do think he is very talented. And I think he has a lot of bright future, just like Brandon Miller. Yohan Traore weekly update, Gray. in the South Carolina game, he did have 8 points. And yep. He was 3 for 6 from the field. So there's improvement there. Maybe he's finally figuring it out.
He woke up feeling dangerous.
8 points. Yeah, that's major dangerous from Yohan Traore. But yeah, just like you said, Alex, he had 8 points in this game. It looked like towards in the second half, there was a big emphasis on not only him, but Trey Donaldson, who you only have 1 point in this game, but Trey Donaldson, Leo Berman, Katie Johnson, Dylan Carwell, getting that bench and getting that bench some comfort, especially because I highly doubt Chris Moore is going to come back and take Alan Flanagan's starting spot. So if you throw Chris Moore into there, who's a starter caliber player, who is your scorer coming off of that bench? Is it Katie Johnson, who we know who can score but is very inconsistent at times? Is it somebody like Trey Donaldson, who also we know can score but has been inconsistent and is just a freshman playing that point guard spot? Is it Leor Berman? Berman is a former walk-on. We're not used to him scoring a lot, but he could do that. He's a good shooter. Or do they try and establish and get pure confidence in a guy like Yohan Traore, who we've seen score in Israel and throughout high school, and we know he can do it. He just has not. He's been a complete deer in the headlights at the start of the year. But a good, really good game for him against South Carolina. But Alex, I want to take a second to go back to what you said about South Carolina. Obviously a very struggling team and really struggled in this game. But G.G. Jackson proved that he is probably, in my opinion, the second or third best freshman in college basketball, only number one to be Brandon Miller at Alabama. I think, just like you said, if he would have gone to North Carolina or anybody but South Carolina, anybody but staying home or just not reclassified and come next year, he would have had a chance to be a number one, number two overall pick. But you can't fault the kid for staying there, staying home and reclassifying. He played really well in this game. He's been playing really well, been South Carolina's leading scorer. So hope to see him improve and hope to see South Carolina improve. Nathan, what do you got from NFL this past weekend?
Yeah, let's go ahead and start off with Chiefs and Jaguars. Kansas City ended up winning 27-20. To start off, Patrick Mahomes, you know, played a solid game. There was a scare where he went out with an ankle injury, but returned after halftime. Chad Henne, you know, him coming in, what, a 98-yard touchdown drive. So, I mean, I think we've seen that Chad Henne is probably a very good backup, and he can play in the absence of Patrick Mahomes. But, you know, as far as, like, Trevor Lawrence and Jaguars go, I don't think they really had a shot in this game. I think that Kansas City was just too talented for this Jaguars team. And, you know, Trevor Lawrence, he had a decent game, ended up throwing an interception. And, you know, they had a great performance from Travis Etienne. But when Patrick Mahomes is on the other side of the field and you're constantly having to keep up with him and Travis Kelce, it's kind of impossible.
Yeah, just to backtrack on what you said, Nathan, the Jaguars did actually have a chance in this game. It's just they decided to fall apart in the fourth quarter. They turned the ball over back-to-back possessions. They had a fumble inside Kansas City's 10-yard line by wide receiver Jamal Agnew, and then Lawrence did an interception. So they did have a chance, and I think it's largely in part to the fact Mahomes got injured. It's going to be something to look towards next week. The offense will definitely look much different than what it has been because, you know, Mahomes, you know, rolls outside that pocket. The Mahomes magic is running around, kind of like Bryce Young did for Alabama. But with that limited mobility, it's going to be interesting to see how the Bengals play against them next week in that matchup.
Yeah, just like you said, Alex, that injury really played a role in the Jaguars being able to have a chance in this game. Obviously, when this game was first, you know, scheduled right after the Jaguars won and to advance, I was like, I don't really feel like there's a chance at all. Just, I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Travis Kelce, it's the Chiefs in Arrowhead. Just like you said, Nathan, that just doesn't feel like a place where Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars can go. But they did play well. I think that's it's a good game to come off of and you know, go into the offseason, address some things, and start next year off well.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and move on to Eagles versus Giants. Eagles with a dominant performance ended up winning 38-7. Jalen Hurts played lights out. 154 yards, two touchdowns. Same Jalen Hurts we've seen all season, even coming off of that injury late in the year. Devontae Smith had a dominant performance as a, you know, wide receiver, either two or one on this team. I can't figure out whether him or A.J. Brown wants to be wide receiver one. I guess I'll figure that out soon. The Giants in this game weren't really great on offense. They had moments where they just stalled out on drives. Daniel Jones really didn't play that poor of a game. That they just struggled moving the ball. Saquon was around, but he didn't make a huge impact against this Eagles defense. So what did y'all see from this Eagles team and their dominant performance to maybe give them the best case to maybe win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, looking at the Eagles, it's really their defense that's been carrying that offense all year. I mean, the offense has been great with Jalen Hurts, but obviously. But the Eagles defense hasn't really lights out. They kind of exposed the Giants' lack of weapons. You know, outside of Saquon Barkley, the leading receiver was Richie James. That's kind of says it all right there. So they're kind of able to shut that down, unlike the Vikings last week. After the game, Nick Sirianni compared Jalen Hurts to Michael Jordan. What are y'all's thoughts on that?
That's going too far. Now, this game was over from the start, in my opinion. I think the Eagles just completely dominated on both sides of the ball. Just like you said, Nathan, the Giants just weren't able to move the ball. Not a bad game from Daniel Jones or Saquon Barkley, but they just weren't able to make enough plays to combat Jalen Hurts and this Eagles offense. But comparing Jalen Hurts to Michael Jordan, That's more than going too far. That's going way too far.
Yeah, I think you need to slow your roll there. Yeah. You know who you're comparing him to? The GOAT, the best to ever do it.
Yep.
Yeah, I think you need best to calm down. Jalen Hurts hasn't even won a Super Bowl yet.
Yep.
I say yet. Notice that. Because I do awesome. Think this team probably has the best shot to win the Super Bowl out of anyone.
They have the talent, no doubt.
Yeah, it's all going to be on that defense. All right, let's go ahead and move on to a very, very, very good game in Bengals versus Bills, playing in the snow. Cincinnati ended up winning 27-10. Josh Allen just did not look the same in this game, while Joe Burrow on the other side was having a field day, throwing to Ja'Marr Chase every chance he got, basically. Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs really had some frustrations with each other. I know there is a point in the game where Josh Allen was sitting on the bench and Stephon Diggs came over and he's just wondering why he's acting like that. And, you know, Josh Allen didn't seem like his normal self. He seemed like he kind of gave up halfway through the game, even though he tried his hardest earlier in the first half. From watching this game, what can you say about this Bengals defense moving forward as they play Kansas City this weekend?
Yeah, the Bengals defense has just been elite all year. Coming into the year, many didn't really expect the Bengals defense to be, you know, one of the best in the league. It was all about the offense. But the defense kind of won in this game the way they played and just shut down Josh Allen. Speaking on Josh Allen, he just can't win big playoff games. The turnovers have been killer all year. And I know he had one interception in garbage time this week, and, you know, it really wasn't that big of a deal. But he just did not play well. And I honestly do not think he's a top three quarterback in this league. He hasn't proven it to me. He hasn't made an all-pro team. He hasn't made the AFC championship. He hasn't made a Super Bowl. I mean, what's going on there? And then looking at the Bengals, they had a banged-up O-line and still had 105 yards from Joe Mixon and 33 yards from Samaje Perine, both the running backs. I mean, what does that say about the Bills' defense that everybody was, like, all about all year? I mean, they just got ran through by the Bengals. And then Eli Apple on the Bengals, he's celebrating on the sideline. He's getting burnt all year, and you're letting Eli Apple clown you. That's just sad for the Bills.
Oh my goodness. Eli Apple clowning you. But, yeah, Alex, I think Joe Burrow helped your point about Josh Allen not being a top three quarterback in this league, because I think Joe completely passed him in this game. Just like you said, not able to win big playoff games. Obviously, there was the controversy of 2 years ago, you know, not getting the ball in overtime, not being able to touch the ball in overtime. And now we have the new playoff overtime rules or whatever. But just like you said, he just kind of disappeared in this game. And Bengals defense played outstanding, have been playing outstanding all year. And I'll be very, very interested to see how they game plan against Patrick Mahomes coming off an injury. That game's going to be in Arrowhead. I cannot wait for that AFC championship.
One thing to point out here, Stephon Diggs, I get his frustrations because he had 4 receptions for 35 yards. You would think Josh Allen, you know, would target him all game, but he just didn't.
Yeah, I think Joe Burrow had the coldest line almost of the year, saying better send those refunds, when referring to the fact that the NFL was just kind of promoting the fact of that neutral site game with
with in Atlanta. Yeah, that was they pushed it heavily. So it'll be interesting who all gets their refunds. It'd be kind of funny if they didn't get any at all. All right, let's go ahead and move on to Cowboys versus 49ers in an all-time classic, historical classic here. San Francisco ended up winning 19-12. Cowboys, I don't even know what to say about this team anymore. They consistently fall face down in the playoffs. Dak Prescott, I guess, is scared of the moment. The lights are too bright for him. Tony Pollard going out with a high ankle sprain, and he did not return.
Actually, he had a broken fibula.
Fibula. Wow. Yeah. Well, that's even worse for them. One thing that has been consistent with this Cowboys offense is the lack of good play calling in late moments of the game. You really want to know what Mike McCarthy is thinking when he's calling these plays. And then I guess what's going through Dak's mind throughout this game when he decides he just wants to throw to the other team, which is very surprising. And Brock Purdy continues to have a great year, from Mr. Irrelevant to probably the new starting quarterback for the 49ers, I'd say at this point, because I don't think Jimmy G or Trey Lance is coming back next season to take his starting spot, especially if they go all the way to the Super Bowl. Christian McCaffrey, we've been critical of that trade in the past. At least I have.
Continue to be critical of that trade.
From a Panther standpoint, yeah.
Oh, yeah, considerably.
But he continues to be the receiving back that we've always seen, and he's just another option for this the 49ers team. But it really goes down to the 49ers defense with Fred Warner leading the way. I mean, he is all over the place, all over the field. He is in everyone's nightmares. I'm pretty sure Dak Prescott, if you showed him a picture of Fred Warner, he'd be scared. So, watching this game, what can you say about this Cowboys team?
I mean, the Cowboys defense kept them in this game. They played the best possible they could have played that game. But Dak and the offense, what in the world was that? 12 points in a playoff game? Dak came back. He played 12 games this season, but led the league in interceptions. That says it all right there. And then, these turnovers were killer this game. He had two interceptions. What in the world was that last play? What in the world? That was the Colts 2.0.
I don't know how Mike McCarthy lasts longer than about two or three more weeks, strictly based on that last play, but just throughout the game and throughout the season, just some of the play calling, putting Dak and Zeke and these amazing, they've got great weapons. CeeDee Lamb's a great weapon. Dalton Schultz is a great weapon. Offensively, Tony Pollard, obviously, prayers up for him, but I don't know how Mike McCarthy lasts. That last play may be the worst football play ever. That is relatable to the Pat McAfee Colts play where they were going to punt it, and then half of them ran to the side of the field and they snapped it with two guys. They just got tackled. That's what this play was like. They put Zeke at center with nobody else, hoping the 49ers just wouldn't rush the passer. Zeke gets then destroyed, blown backwards on his backside. Dak has to get rid of it quick at that point, throws it short, and the guy just gets tackled. I understand wanting to have as many skill players out there as possible for that lateral hook and ladder type of play, but come on, there are better ways to go about that.
Yeah, Mark, you provided help to the Cowboys there with their lack of weapons. Just saying, better than a fifth round pick.
Yeah, one thing I will say is, Cowboy fans, you better get used to Mike McCarthy, because Jerry Jones after the game was pretty emphatic that he's returning.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
And yeah. Looking at the 49ers in that game, like Nathan said, their defense has been lights out all year. I mean, there's nothing else to say there. And they're on a 12-game winning streak with Brock Purdy at quarterback, with Jimmy GB in a couple of those games. So that really shows how good Kyle Shanahan is as that coach at San Francisco. But it's also reported that Jimmy G could come back next week for the NFC Championship or the Super Bowl. Do y'all think he's going to start, or do you think they just stick with Brock Purdy?
No, I think Jimmy G is done. He is done. Trey Lance, that whole experiment with him, I think that's also finished. I really see no future for him in San Francisco after Brock Purdy continues to put out these great numbers.
Yeah. Brock Purdy is just establishing himself and winning games. And a lot of that is due to the, just like you said, Alex, the fantastic defensive play. They've added weapons. I mean, getting Christian McCaffrey, then, having guys like Deebo Samuel and George Kittle having great games, obviously that helps. But Brock Purdy's just winning right now, and it's going to be hard to remove him from that situation, especially next week, but even in this offseason.
Yeah, it's I really think it's just all his job until he gives it up, and I don't think he will. And he obviously has the support of every single San Francisco fan there is. So I think Brock Purdy is the future of the 49ers. Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't think I'd be saying that at the end of the season. I did not think that at all.
No, I don't think anybody did.
Alex, what do we have? What's going on in the NBA? We haven't touched it in a while.
Yeah, so from what we've seen this season, there's been a lot of great players. Luka, most notably. You've had Giannis, Jason Tatum, Kevin Durant, and, Devin Booker before his injury. So from what y'all seen this season, who do you think is currently the best player playing in the NBA right now?
I think it's Luka. I think that the Mavericks are not there yet. I think Luka is by far there. I don't think the Mavericks are there yet. I think they need another not I wouldn't say all-star, but they need another shooter to go beside Luka, because Luka's, you know, throwing the ball to Spencer Dinwiddie and Christian Wood, and how good that they've been, and they have been really good, but Luka needs more than Spencer Dinwiddie, Reggie Bullock, Christian Wood, Dorian Finney-Smith to be that impact point guard that, you know, we've seen from guys like Steph Curry and LeBron and Kyrie Irving when he was at the Cavs, and that those sort of they need other players. They, because Luka's a more than fantastic passer as much as he is a scorer. So I think they need to go get somebody and establish something else. I don't think the Mavericks are there yet. I think they will be, but I think it's Luka so far this year.
Yeah. I think I might differ. I think Luka's great, but I think the team around him kind of brings him down. I feel like he struggles on defense at some points. But for someone like Jason Tatum, who consistently can play both ends of the court, he's really a two-way player. And I know he has good people around him. He has great role players around him. But he really leads a Celtics team to, you know, get these big wins. And when it comes to playoff time, he's really going to be there for this team. I think they're an automatic lock at this point, given the talent that they all have. I'm not sure what seed they are right now in the East, but I think after watching Jason Tatum continue to put up these dominant performances, I think right now I would have to go with Jason Tatum.
Yeah, for me, it's going to have to be the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo. He has been averaging 31 points per game, which is fourth in the NBA, and 11.9 rebounds, which is second. The Bucks are actually third in the East, and I just think with all his body of work from this year and years past, having the NBA championship win, the finals MVP, the two MVPs, the Defensive Player of the Year, and all the accolades, other accolades he has, I honestly think he is the best player in the league right now. Bucks team kind of hasn't been playing as up to par as they usually are, with Chris Middleton being out and Giannis kind of being out these last few games. But I really do think Giannis is the best player in the league.
I don't know. It's hard to say because Giannis kind of has limitations to his game.
Yeah.
More so on the offensive end with the lack of, you know, shooting the three ball. And he struggled with free throws in the past. I don't really think that's as big as an issue anymore. But with Giannis, I think he just needs to continue improving his game and improving that outside shot. And then I don't think that there's going to be any discrepancy that he is the best player in the NBA. As far as Luka goes, he's all over the place. He continues to pull this Mavs team into a higher seeding in the playoffs. But like you said, Gray, you're making an argument for his second best help to be Spencer Dinwiddie or Christian Wood, which I would cry if that was my help, to be honest.
What winning a championship?
It will not. You will fall apart. It is kind of sad because the Mavs just need to build around Luka, and they're kind of wasting his time there.
Yep.
As far as like Jason Tatum goes, I think that team is championship built. It's just a matter of them putting it all together.
Yeah. Definitely is.
They were
definitely
so
is.
Close last year. Yeah.
Just fell short. Just fell short last year. All right, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening to Students of the Game.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.